Well, hello there. This is Chris Brown. Before we get started, if you're thinking about selling or buying a home soon, I suggest you get help from a trusted real estate agent through our endorsed local providers, also known as our ELPs. They have the heart of a teacher to help you through every step. Go to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP to connect with someone in your area.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about God's way of handling money. Of course, that is way different than the world's way of handling money. One is rooted in entitlement, and one is wrapped up in gratitude. A huge difference, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So feel free to call in at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. And of course, you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Now, and here's the deal. This is not a show where we talk about what we're against, but we talk about what we're for. But what I want to do is I do want to make sure that you, as the true stewardship community, is informed by just exactly how big this problem is, the world's way of handling money. I noticed in Automotive News on their website, autonews.com, there's an article recently that was posted, and I want to read just a little bit to you and just let you know how big this problem is. Okay, this is loans, okay, people owing money on depreciating assets. These are people that on average are spending $35,000 for $26,000 cars. They're paying $35,000 over 6 years, and after 6 years, that car is worth about $6,000, which makes absolute no financial sense. So here's what the article says. The number of U.S. consumers with an auto loan grew 7.8% in the fourth quarter, the largest year-over-year increase since TransUnion started tracking the data in 2009. But nationwide, 60-day delinquencies jumped 6.4% to the highest level since 2010. Fueled by growing delinquency rates in states with energy-dependent economies. So here's the deal. Even in a generally good economy, as opposed to like 2008 times, we're finding ourselves delinquent on car loans and more car loans than ever. Crazy, right? In the fourth quarter of 2015, 75.6 million consumers had an auto loan. 75.6 million people, many of you listening in, you're a part of that stat. And the average debt per borrower was just under $18,000, $17,999, an increase of 3.1% over the year, the earlier year. The auto finance market is continuing to grow as sales rise, and Jason Lackey, TransUnion Senior Vice President and Auto and Consumer Lending Business Leader, he said that. Low interest rates are pushing more customers to finance their vehicles rather than pay cash. A growth was observed across all risk tiers. And here's what says that just drives me nuts. A promising sign for the auto industry as we head into 2016. And I'm not ripping on the whole auto industry at all. This is more about what we're for, not what we're against. And that line drives me crazy. That's a promising sign. Auto loan and lease originations, which TransUnion reports one quarter behind to ensure all accounts are tallied and included in the data, reached a record 7.5 million during the third quarter, up 8% year over year. Folks, oh, the world's way of handling money is not good. It's not good at all to go after a car loan. The average person spends $26,000 on a car loan, and you pay over 6 years, which is the average, $33,000. At the end of those 6 years, that car is worth $6,000. You paid $33,000 for a $6,000 piece of metal. Folks, we're better than that. And so I say that to inform you, to make sure that you know exactly how enormous this problem is, not to throw stones at the auto industry. But that is the world's way of handling money. We are better than that. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is enslaved to the lender, and that's what that spoke of. All the 60-day delinquents, yes, they are feeling the pressure, they're feeling the bondage, and I don't want that for you. So that's why I am speaking so boldly on that today. We are taking your calls again, 866-357-3283. I see that there's several lined up already, and this first one comes in from Charleston, South Carolina. This is Thomas. Thomas, how are you?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. How can I serve you?
Well, I heard a statement or something like that by Dave Ramsey a couple days ago in reference to paying off debt, and then also, you know, whenever you pay off debt, you basically lose your Beacon score. But I've been trying to buy a house now for several years, and I've never been able to get my Beacon score high enough to where I can qualify for a home loan.
Mm-hmm.
And if I continue to get rid of my Beacon score by paying off debt, how am I supposed to get qualified for a home loan if I don't meet the Beacon score?
Yeah, I think that's a great question that many of our listeners have probably asked as well. They've heard me and Dave Ramsey allude to that several times, and so I'm glad you're asking it. If you have a poor credit score and a poor financial position, that would unqualify you regardless. If you had a poor credit score and you had a good financial position, what you'd do is you'd go through what's called manual underwriting. And that is available. Actually, one mortgage office that I could recommend is Church Hill Mortgage that does that. I know they do that. And what they do is instead of putting you through a generated system that's all computerized and it pops out whether you qualify or not, they actually sit down and look at your finances. Imagine that, right? So they sit down and they say, okay, here's your assets. Here's your liabilities. Here's the risk assessment. They go back into a room. They talk to three or four people. Hey, what do you guys think about bringing on this client? Well, I think maybe they need to put 30% down because they are kind of a risk, or maybe they need to put 10% down, 50% down. I don't know what it is, but they go back and they actually make a cognitive decision. Wow. And then sometimes, you know, that's what when there's a difference also between a poor credit score and no credit score. A lot of times we're talking to you don't need a credit score. What we're referring to is if you have a credit score of zero because you've never borrowed, you've never gone down that road, then you're going to have to prove some assets and liabilities and what your, you know, your financials look like. If you have a poor credit score because of poor behavior currently, then you're right. And I don't know your situation, Thomas, at all, but if somebody has poor financial decisions currently, then yes, you're still not going to qualify. But if you can prove, hey, this is all in the past, but here's my financial position. We've got this amount of money in the bank. We only have 10% of our income or 20% of our income going towards permanent, you know, fixed cost. We have a lot of discretionary income. And this is our current situation. We've got a stable job with a great a company that has a great history. All those kind of things go into it. And then you can make a decision and boom, you qualify.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's another idea is just to pay cash for the whole thing. You don't have to deal with any kind of underwriting, which is the process that I'm in right now. I'm saving cash and I'm about 60% of the way there. And I'm just waiting to pay cash. I don't have to deal with any of that hassle.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm working hard. I've been doing it since January of 11, trying to save up cash. And it's been a long journey, but that's my plan is to go in there with cash and get something 80 cents on the dollar because nobody knows what to do when you have a cash buyer. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. Okay, well, just give you a brief synopsis of my situation. I've been married for 18 years, and for 18 years we have not lived on a budget, and we're finally getting that squared away, and we're trying to get our finances squared away, and our entire debt is like $27,000, and that's including two car loans. So we're trying to get that all that taken care of and wiped out, and then we're going to work on buying a home, so we're just going to go from there.
Yeah, yeah. I think, and you can start having conversations with possible manual underwriting lenders and have those conversations now so that if that need pops up in the future, you'll know who to go to.
Okay. You said Church Hill Mortgage is one that's.
Yep. And we have that link at stewardship.com.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Thomas.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Got an email here from James. He says, Chris, what is the difference between giving and being generous? Good question, James. While it is possible to give and to also be generous, and it's also possible to be generous and to give, they can be separate too. It is possible to engage in giving but not be generous. It goes back to the heart. People can give grudgingly. People can give out of obligation. People can give out of pride. And of course, that's not generous. But a truly generous person gives from a heart that says, I am willing to have less so that you can have more. And a true generous person, if that's the adjective that is going to be used for a person or for an organization, then this is something that needs to happen frequently with different dollar amounts. And sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's little, but manifested in different ways: time, energy, influence, relationships, our talents. But a true generous person is going to do this frequently. It's going to be part of their MO, their method of operation. And so great question, James. Appreciate that. The difference between giving and being generous. Our next call comes in from Detroit, Michigan. This is Steve. Steve, how are you?
Very good, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm honored. How can I help?
Well, I'm calling in regards to one of my sons who, well, I was going through FPU University and it helped me get my life together. My son was going in a different direction, and now he's looking for some advice. He's in debt quite a bit, and I, quite frankly, don't. I mean, I've given him some advice, but I was hoping that maybe you might expound on what he might do with his debt, and so I can share it with him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Right now, he's in the process. He bought a house for $230,000. But he has about $100,000 of other debt, credit cards, student loans, car loans, truck loans. It's just gone the other way.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure where to, you know, recommend where to go from here. I've got my thoughts, but I was hoping maybe you could share something with myself.
Yeah, yeah. What was the last bit of advice you gave him? And what was his reaction? That'll give me an idea of where he's at emotionally and where he's at. Is he receiving the advice? Is he doing anything with it? Or is he just rebelling from it?
No, I don't think he's rebelling now. I think he knows he's up against a pretty hard wall.
Okay.
And he is receptive. He just doesn't know at this point where to start. And he makes basically $45,000. His overtime gets him up to about $65,000, but I think he's learned to take the advice of the bankers who say, "Oh, you can get this much from us," but he's not living within his means when really he can only afford this much. So he's way in debt.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was thinking that possibly I think he got to sell his house and downsize and get out of that somehow or another.
The house part of your budget, for all of us listening in, is the best opportunity for us to save a lot of money, because typically it's going to be anywhere from 20 to, for some of y'all who are house poor, up to 40% of your budget. So if you shave there, like you're saying, if he can get out of that without, you know, having to bring a bunch of money to closing, that would be my first recommendation too, because he could go to, does he have a family of his own?
Yes. Wife and two children, 3 and 1. And, the second biggest mess was he bought a truck for his payment $750.
Oh,
which is whoa.
Yeah, yeah. I think
what do you do with that?
I think I'm with you on he needs to have less house. He needs to sell the cars. He needs to make some major moves. These are huge moves, though. But this is deeper than actions. This is a belief system. So what I would suggest for you is you've got to get him in front of a third party. I know you're in Detroit, so in my head right now, I'm thinking about what events I could send you to for free and set you up with VIP passes and all that kind of stuff. That's what I want to do. You've got to get him in front of a third party.
Yeah, for him, no, he's in Wyoming. That's the difference. I'm calling from Detroit. He's in Wyoming.
So. Gotcha. Is there any way that you could, it doesn't sound like you'd have to bribe him, but could you, if I sent you Financial Peace University and gave it to you and you sent it to him, would he be offended by that or would he be thankful?
Oh, he'd be thankful. I went through FPU and it changed my life. I mean, I did the baby steps. I paid off my debt. I'm working on my 3 to 6 months. It's changed my life, you know?
We're going to send you Financial Peace University. Send that to him and then please call us back and let us know how that goes.
Sure will, Chris. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, I mean, if you're in that situation, and I feel like Steve's got the right demeanor for this. And you are trying to address a behavior that is just off. Remember this. Remember that you get much further asking questions than stating opinions. So ask them questions. Ask them questions like, how is, you know, how's that going for you? You know, not in a mean way, in a sarcastic way, but, you know, if somebody has the belief system that they want to make sure they borrow for everything, then ask them, how much is that car worth? How much do you owe? And you just start asking questions. And listen, if you ask those questions and then let it sit, I guarantee you it will simmer. And the Holy Spirit will do do its work later on, and it'll do all the work for you. So just as a reminder for all of us as we're trying to coach people in the right direction. Well, switching gears just a little bit, as many of you are making that big decision to buy or to sell a house, we know it's something that many of you don't have years' experience doing it. So that's why most people get help from a real estate agent. But do you know where to find a top-selling agent that you can trust to get the best deal on your home? Our endorsed local providers are real estate agents with the heart of a teacher, and they will lead you to an educated decision. Our ELPs sell a minimum of 40 homes a year, close 5 times more homes than a typical real estate agent, all while putting customer service before their commission. And yes, that is possible. Imagine that, right? Get connected with an endorsed real estate agent in your area by going to stewardship.com and clicking on Find an ELP.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to Chris Brown and True Stewardship.
This next call coming in is Andy. He's calling in from Pennsylvania. Andy, how are you?
Good, Chris. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm honored. How can I help you?
Is it all right to give you a little background before the question?
Sure, yeah.
My situation? Okay. I'm a board member at my church, and we just had a meeting this week, and there are some opposing views on finances and debt and credit cards in our meeting. And, you know, I was kind of upset because I'm the FPU coordinator of the church, and, you know, I listen to you guys all the time, and I feel educated by you guys as far as what Scripture teaches. Mm-hmm. And standing up in my church trying to, you know, give that information to people and telling them to get out of debt and cut up credit cards. And then I go to meetings and I hear what the church leaders are saying, and it's kind of frustrating. So
yeah.
I guess my question is it ever okay to take a leap of faith and go into debt because you think that, you know, God is telling you to do that, to go ahead with that? Because the lead pastor, his view is, you should do that. If God's telling you to do that, you do that no matter what.
This will not be popular advice with my pastors, my pastor friends out there.
Yeah.
But it is not a leap of faith at the moment that it contradicts Scripture.
Okay.
Proverbs 22:7 says, the borrower is enslaved to the lender. The wisest person ever on the planet and anointed by God said through the Word of God, the borrower is enslaved to the lender. Romans 13:8 says to owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. In Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, it talks about earning interest with money. And I know that's where they're headed. Hey, listen, if we build the building, then we'll grow. And then so therefore we're maximum. Yeah. I know where this justification goes. But yeah, if you notice in Matthew 25, in the parable of talents, it's earn interest with what I've given you, but not using debt, not using something that contradicts another scripture. So you're not going into debt to grow. And so I know pastors do not like that, but here's the deal, that he is not going to ask you to do something that contradicts his word. He's just not. It just makes absolutely no sense. So we either trust God or we trust debt. It's very important that pastors have accountability, like this board structure sounds like it is. And it sounds like there's some, if this is good, healthy dialogue, it's great. And it's nothing against pastors at all, because they're excited. They want to reach more people. This is not being condescending to pastors at all.
Yeah.
But I am standing on the word of God and saying that, you know, God does not want the bride of Christ to be in bondage. 73% of churches carry debt. On average, 13% of their budget goes to debt service. Let me just ask everyone out there, what would happen if we freed up 13% of all the church's budget for feeding people, for building shelters, for going on missions trips? What would happen if we actually freed up? A lot of times in churches, we're asking for a 5% increase in giving. We're asking for that while we're paying 13% in interest and debt.
His view is also that Dave Ramsey kind of works for your life at home, but relating to church, it's not the same. And in my opinion, it is. What's your view on that?
I would just love for him, and I don't mean this mean and sarcastic, I promise you, but I would love for him to point that out in the scriptures. Except for in a business, except for my bride, except for the church. I want everyone else to have faith in my principles, except for my bride of Christ, the local church. You guys don't trust me. I don't want you guys to trust me. I want you guys to do everything on your own. I don't see that anywhere. And I've been in those meetings. I've been there, Andy, and I know what it's like to justify this in the meeting. I'm not ripping on your pastor, I promise.
I respect my pastor as well. I was just really, really curious and kind of taken aback by this meeting, and I really wanted to talk with you because, like I said, I listen to you all the time, and I value your opinion, and it's really nice to hear what the Bible says about this.
Yeah. It's just, you know, the Bible talks a lot about 20 plus verses about acting hastily, and a lot of times we jump out on faith. We call it jumping out on faith, but what we're doing is jumping out on foolishness. And I just really, really beg him not to do that. I was part of a movement myself that made a conscious effort not to do this back in 2007, 2008, 2009. And we grew all the way to 5,000 people without taking on any debt. And we were in portable facilities. And I know that God blessed that 0 to 5,000 because we trusted him. And so I would encourage him to do that. He doesn't need a building. I don't care what number it is. You don't have to have a building.
All right. I think that really answers a lot of my questions. And I'm happy to hear your response, because that's what I was thinking and hoping for. I think that's kind of why I left that meeting so frustrated, because I kind of knew what the answers probably were going to be. And I wasn't seeing that from the other leadership there.
Yeah, just remember, a soft answer turns away wrath. So as you bring this stuff up, make sure that you know you do it with respect.
Okay, thank you very much, Chris.
All right, thank you. All right, folks. Well, I've got a Facebook post here from Jean. She says, I love your podcast and your message. Thank you for focusing on the entire area of stewardship and not just the monetary part. We work really hard at that, because that is what this is about. This is about the heart. And not just the money. This isn't just a math show of interest rates and all that kind of stuff. This is a heart show. Your background speaks to everyone of God's amazing plan for our lives and what is important and what is not. So thank you so much, Gene. It's very encouraging. And folks, again, reminder, we are talking about hearts and minds. And Gene, as you talked about, as far as my past is concerned, you know, Christine Kane told me recently, she said, Chris, he takes our mess and he can make it a message if we let him. And that's all I'm trying to do, is take my mess that I got into back in 2008 during my investment debacle, and I'm trying to give glory to God through my story. And so that's what we want to do. And so that's the heartbeat behind this show, and trying to help people not do what I did when I was not so brilliant. Well, that wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for listening in. If you are new to the Chris Brown's True Stewardship community, we pray that you were encouraged and that this show has added some value to your life. Of course, let's stay connected on social media at Chris Brown On Air on every social media platform. And of course, at our events. I was at Charleston this week and got to meet several of you that have been listening in. And that was very, very encouraging. So make sure you check out stewardship.com to see where we are all going to be at, and what cities and what times and all that kind of stuff. That's all there at stewardship.com. And of course, while you're there at stewardship.com, also our ELPs are ready to help you with buying or selling a home this year. Make sure you go there to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP for all the details. Again, all the cities and the dates where the Ramsey Solutions team will be bringing life-changing events this spring are right there at stewardship.com. Grab your tickets before they are gone. Folks, it has been a pleasure. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.